Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Flags are at half staff this morning in Manhattan and New York City, as we're now learning more about the victims in that just terrifying, horrific massacre of individuals. So just want to update you on this. Since I first reported at 6 o'clock this morning, we know that four people were killed, a fifth injured in this, what they're calling a mass shooting, a massacre, Midtown Manhattan, in that office building there yesterday. Actually, it was last night, around 6:30 in the evening. And among those shot and killed, a hero cop, a dedicated policeman, as well a husband, a father of two little boys, with a third baby expected just weeks away. And so you think of this young family, you think of a pregnant wife who was very excited, the nursery's all ready for the baby, they're excited to bring in their third child, and as well, the police officer who is identified as Officer Didarul Islam, an off-duty New York police officer assigned to a Bronx precinct. But in New York, apparently, if you are working in a security firm, let's say you can work private security, he was in his NYPD, his police uniform. Apparently, that's allowed, that if you work. So he was working extra hours for this, as security for this high-rise building. And in part, the word we're getting is it was because he was trying to earn some extra money with a third child on the way. And so by all accounts, and you see NYPD, as they said, police officer Islam represented the very best of our department. This is the statement from NYPD. He was protecting New Yorkers from danger when his life was tragically cut short. And that word from NYPD. I know that New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who, as you well know, is a former policeman himself serving in the NYPD. And so we got the news conference and we carried a piece of it earlier this morning. But I wanted to just update you on what's going on. So at the site, at the building, we know that grief counselors are on site. We know that this gunman traveled from, according to, by all accounts, all the authorities, traveling all the way from Vegas, where he was worked in security, building security himself, traveled across the country and appears to have targeted, because he had a note on him that was talking about being angry with the NFL. And we know that there are at least two floors in this particular building where they have NFL offices. And so perhaps that's why this suspect was targeting this building and went halfway, you know, all the way across the country from the West Coast all the way to New York City. And this is the Blackstone building. So in the building, Wesley LePatner, he's one of the individuals identified as being killed, a beloved member of the corporate family, the company. But Wesley LePatner was a brilliant, passionate, warm, generous, deeply respected individual within their firm. And so reaching out to and trying to ask for prayers for the husband, this executive's husband, children, and family. What a sad situation that they're releasing that. And they have grief counselors, like I say. Some of the images of those officers, you know, going into motion. And then the suspect, what about him? We know that he was a football star and apparently had written about the fact that he had brain damage, that he had concussions, that he had this, you know, these conditions that are similar with football, you know, injuries, the CTE, and really blamed his mental health problems and blamed the NFL because he couldn't make it to the NFL, apparently. That was his dream. The whole thing is just a real tragedy. What I'll say about that as well is that here's a couple of things. The narrative that I talk a lot about, the media narrative, right? We played it a ton that CNN and their analysts and experts were saying that the suspect was early on described as appearing to be a white man, which was bizarre. I mean, why speculate on the person's ethnicity if you don't know? Just don't say anything. If I'm
who
Aaron,
he is?
Aaron Barnett.
They do not know who he is. They know he is
a male, possibly white. He's wearing sunglasses. He appears to have a mustache. And that picture has been distributed to every police officer.
So you hear Erin Barnett, who generally she's one of the highest rated, if not the highest rated news anchors for CNN News, generally is known as not being as biased as the rest and trying to call it down the middle. So if I'm her, I don't want that expert on again, or I want to address this because this has gone viral with multiple times describing the individual who's clearly not. If you look at the picture that immediately went viral, why go there? Why speculate on the ethnic? What the heck does the ethnicity has nothing to do with it? But they're so worried about race and call anybody else racist. The whole thing is bizarre. But in this one, being called a senseless tragedy. So where is the narrative now? So yesterday, the narrative was about the rifle that the killer had. And by the way, it's significant to say he did have a legal permit for the sidearm, for the handgun, but he left that in his vehicle. Double parks, just struts with such, energy and confidence. It's really sad. Across the plaza, nobody stops him, which is also bizarre. And then not only looks like he took the wrong elevator, was headed for the floors where the NFL offices are, but opens fire on all of these different individuals, including the officer, and takes down this young lady who's I think she was just that old, that horrible saying, in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I don't think that she was the mom who was among those gunned down. I don't think she's targeted. That's another piece of this. But I will submit this to you. Because this is not fitting any other kind of narrative. He's not a white dude. He's not a MAGA dude. The only strange turn it has taken is that they are focusing on the mental health issue and the concussion and football issue. Because this is what the media does. It's so bizarre. Instead of just following the truth, follow the story, for crying out loud. Talk about that, would you? But in this case, the executive who I mentioned, who's just today, Wesley LePatner, she's being identified for the first time. So we know that among those killed, the hero cop, we now know this mom and executive, she was targeted. And we also know that, in fact, there's an NFL executive or NFL employee who is in very serious condition. We told you that earlier. Right. It's just so sad.
Just a quick soundbite from Eric Adams, mayor of NYC.
He was saving lives. He was protecting New Yorkers. He's an immigrant from Bangladesh.
This is the officer.
And he loved this city. And everyone we spoke with stated he was a person of faith.
And so in this case, this is Shane Tamura, and he grew up in California. Star football player, and the word is, all the sourcing, and I think the New York Post may have broken the story. I know NBC had it pretty early on, but in the wee hours of this morning, that apparently they did find a note on this Shane Tamura. And so he graduated high school 9 years ago, and there were interviews, we played it earlier with him, but expected to be in the NFL, had all of these different injuries and concussions, and is blaming football. And if you know anything about concussions, I know I said this earlier, so if you heard it, I apologize, but football mom, I'm taking my son David this Friday, actually, for another MRI, still recovering from all those football injuries, right? And so this kid, could they have done more to reach out to him? But mental health, depression, all of these issues related to contact sports like football, it's an issue. So I'm glad they're talking about that at least. But who knew? And as well, the issue of should somebody have stopped him from having these powerful firearms if he has diagnosed and serious mental health issues? This is another one of those stories where they're in New York, the Democrats are calling for gun control measures. The guy traveled from Vegas. So whatever the rules would be in a city like New York City or Philadelphia, that doesn't stop this. But what would help is if we have treatment that's covered with insurance, the awareness, the treatment, the coverage, and more that we can do for individuals amid a mental health crisis. That would be something that we could actually help a whole lot of people in this country who've been diagnosed or perhaps undiagnosed with these serious, and obviously he was suicidal. He turned a rifle on himself, not a handgun, a rifle in that office. But the latest is it looks like he took the wrong elevator. That's why he didn't make it up to that floor with the NFL offices. The whole thing's horrific.
A neighbor's camera captured this terrifying scream from Frank Manfredi's fiance as armed suspects assaulted and robbed him outside their home in Washington Township.
I wouldn't wish this on anybody.
Manfredi says he exited his Mercedes in his driveway on Eaton Drive around 11:30 Sunday night. Shortly after, this video shows he was ambushed by the two attackers wearing dark clothing and a mask.
He pulled out his Glock gun and hit me on the top of the head. I had a gash on the top of my head, blood running down my face. And he said, "Don't you move. I will shoot you dead right here."
Police say Manfredi's fiance was held at gunpoint in order to remain silent.
You're thinking like, you know, is this it?
Manfredi says the suspects ran away with his Rolex watch and wallet filled with cash and credit cards. Police say they jumped into a getaway vehicle at Eaton and Joseph Drives.
My house is so lit up. I can't imagine anybody would want to come in front of my house and think they're going to get away with something like that.
Washington Township Police Chief Patrick Gersick says license plate readers reveal the suspect's vehicle was last seen heading towards Philadelphia, where the incident began. The couple went to park in the Ritz-Carlton before heading home.
We're able to see our victim's vehicle, a Mercedes-Benz, enter Washington Township at 11:20 p.m., followed by another vehicle.
Gersick says they're working with Philadelphia detectives to locate the criminals and their vehicle, which police believe is stolen. He urges residents to
know your surroundings, keep your head on a swivel, you know, never become too complacent.
And so that's the latest report that we have on the story that everybody's talking about. You think about that. You have a date night scheduled on a beautiful summer night. And you schedule it, make your reservation at the Ritz. I love the Ritz in Philadelphia. And so it's Park, right? It's the restaurant within there.
Oh, it's so good.
It's awesome.
It's really. French onion soup, best in the city, I got to say.
And so, you know, driving there, planning for the night, get your hair done or get your nails done, like for the woman's, right? And you're just excited for a date night. It's so much fun. What I love about that is to think about a date night planned in the city of Philadelphia. Because our restaurants, I have a friend who's, you know, has co-owned a restaurant for years in Philadelphia, and just talking about these lean years, as it's hard to attract people into the city. This is, I guess, one of the reasons why, to get people back and into the habit of doing that. So I'm so sorry. First of all, to Frank and his fiance, I'm so sorry to hear that this happened. How terrifying.
Yeah.
And you hear they're playing, you know, the kudos to 6ABC, great report. They did a great job and a thorough report as they're trying to also get the word out. And that's a piece of why we want to cover it here in this space, is police often will ask us to focus on these very solvable crimes and to say, hey, and I don't know if there's a reward yet or maybe there will be one, but in this kind of thing, they want to make sure that they get these types of dangerous criminals who would, think about that, follow a couple all the way, what, 20 miles? I mean, this is not a short little jaunt that they followed them, tracked them, stalked them, essentially, across state lines. And, you know, you don't think that's going to happen. And so then to pistol whip him the way they did, and then to hold his fiance at gunpoint. Oh, my God.
And where did this start?
At the Ritz.
It's crazy to me that you wow, Dawn. Oh, man. You bring someone in the city for a date, and are you sitting there? Do they see you get into your Mercedes, and is that what sets off, what triggers the target? Is it the Rolex on the – is it just a person that looks well off, and they're going to be tracked? And it's frightening to me because – I spoke with Frank earlier, and I told him straight up, I live in Deptford. It's near where he is in Washington Township. Me and Maisie often come in to date nights here in the city. Is this something...
So you relate.
Yeah, is this something I now have to be concerned about? Like,
well, okay, so a piece of it, apparently what Frank had said was that they were at the Ritz, so they went out to dinner, they were at the Ritz, had a couple of drinks. If you know that, I mean, it's just a beautiful venue. But they had been walking around. It was a beautiful night on Sunday night. Walked a little bit. So they're not, I think they're not sure at what point that these two guys focused in on them. But one of the pieces to this, I will tell you, remember the wedding party? And they were right outside where I used to work at Fox 29, right around Old City. And the groom in a wedding, I think it was like last summer or summer before. And the groom himself had a Rolex watch. And a group had held him up. So my sense of this is that these Rolexes are, you know, the $30,000, the value of this particular Rolex. And so, I mean, the Mercedes convertible is, I think, worth more than that. But the Rolex, yeah. So the Rolex, much more. But the Rolex is something that they know they can move. They can pawn that off and get a lot for it. So I think there's a real market for that.
A lot of commentary on YouTube. Betty writes in, wear a Timex. And also, don't wear your Rolex, Dan, if you want advice from Suze. Dave writes, we're not in Kansas anymore, people. He suggests someone in that restaurant called somebody that saw the watch. And
wow.
Looking at someone at the restaurant. I don't. That seems like a
inside job.
Conspiracy, you know?
Well, hey, that's thinking like a cop, though. I mean, that's how the cops will question everybody at every venue where they were. Did you see anything? Because remember, they have all these different surveillance cameras and they have the license plate reader. So they already got the car that the guys got away in. But as the report stated, it's a stolen vehicle. Or I think that report stated they've determined by now it was a stolen vehicle. So they're tracking this carefully. So I guess the point is, no matter where you are, we all have to be more diligent. And here's the thing I'm going to say, whether it's in Center City, Philadelphia, or out in the suburbs, wherever that is, you have to be aware, which is why you can always count on me to be paranoid, which I am. So if I think somebody's following me, and I've done this, Dan, I will go up the exit, turn around, and I'll see if they follow me, if they follow me down my street. And Stacia, my stepdaughter, she'll tell you the same thing. If she feels like something's going, she'll do the same thing.
Yeah.
So I try to, paranoia should be contagious. And maybe you call me paranoid, but I'd rather be a little paranoid, you know what I mean, than God forbid.
Well, it's good to be paranoid. I'd suggest also you got your phone in your pocket. It's not good to ever use your phone, but if you're in a crisis like this, maybe look up the closest police precinct. And if you're feeling like you're being followed, yeah, just drive to the police precinct and... I would think that if someone wants to do something nefarious, once they see you pull into the police station, they'd probably trail off. Well, I would hope so.
Yeah, you would hope. But follow them. And the other piece of this is, if they've done this before, maybe they're good at following somebody. So they're not like right on their tail, you know? So that's another kind of a scary scenario to
Jim
me.
Jim has an interesting theory here on the phone.
Okay. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, well... They probably saw his Jersey license plate on his Mercedes and knew that he was unlikely carrying anything to defend himself. Philly people, you know, they got permits to carry. Pennsylvania, you know, we defend ourselves more frequently. It's on the rise, as a matter of fact.
That's a great point.
Yeah, people are easy marks because they don't have adequate defense. You pull a gun on them, they don't have a gun. So, game over and they got yourself.
That's a great point. Thank you for the call, Jim. Appreciate you. Yeah, it's another great point. But, you know, overall, this one just, I don't know, it got me. And the fact that they pistol whipped him and terrorized his, just her scream, the fiance's scream that was, you know, that you got the audio on the doorbell cam.
Getting this case together. We spoke to the victim who was pistol whipped and robbed. He says he's doing okay after such a horrific night, but he says he had no idea he was being followed.
Sorry about that. For a Gloucester County couple. They were followed.
Yeah, I was trying to get this right. I missed it.
That's okay. No, thank you for that.
Full transparency. Frank was supposed to join us. He hasn't gotten back to me. I'm assuming with such a developing story here that there might be more developments going on as we speak.
Maybe so.
And that's usually what happens when
it
these things.
It does happen.
So.
Yeah, thank you,
Dan. We hope
to
hear from Frank, though, still. So it'll be nice to hear his voice.
Thank you. And I'm glad that you spoke to him. Mm-hmm. We hope he's okay. And if anybody saw something, detectives want to hear from you, whether it's South Jersey or whether it's Philadelphia. You heard these different detectives. And then I wonder, because they cross state lines, could there be a federal charge on something like this with crossing back and forth with state lines? I don't have the answer. But in this level of a dangerous where he's pistol whipped and then the fiance is detained, is held at gunpoint.
I did get that scream for you. Here's the scream, Dawn.
A neighbor's camera captured this terrifying scream from Frank Manfredi's fiance as armed suspects assaulted.
I can't even imagine. Because in that moment, you're praying, you're thinking, they're going to kill my fiance. I mean, I just can't imagine her terror.
Yeah. So Frank told me he's definitely beaten up, bruised. He slept in a little bit today because he's just not feeling too great. He just got out of the shower when I spoke with him, but he says he is doing better. Spoke with a bunch of media yesterday. And again, I want to say we do hope to hear from him.
Yeah. Well, we wish him the best and no pressure on that. We appreciate, I'm glad, just good job reaching out to him. But it just shows you we all have to be aware of that kind of thing. Man, that's just a crazy story. Making national news, by the way. 855-839-1210 is the number to call. I want to get to other news of the day and talk about Donald J. Trump. There's some other Trump news as well as statewide news. We'll get to all of it. But whether you're hitting the beach or maybe cruising through the city of Philadelphia or your own city, this summer, why not do it in style? The Honda Summer Performance Event is going on right now at my favorite Honda dealers. You know who they are. Piazza Honda, P-I-A-Z-Z-A. Piazza Honda right now is the time to get behind the wheel of a new Honda Civic. The Civic is what my son Michael drives, as well as Jonathan, who we've had on the show here. So two out of three of the sons have the Civic. The Accord is an awesome vehicle. The CR-V, that's what Lair Bear, my husband Larry, drives. I drive the HR-V. These are unbeatable leases, if that's your thing. Low finance rates, but hurry. These summer savings won't last. Drive to Piazza Honda, Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield. Do this today. You can always shop online, piazzahonda.com, P-I-A-C-C-A, piazzahonda.com. So Dr. Marty McCarry with a little tour. And speaking of antiquated government, antiquated offices, I just think it's so important that we keep this alive as we think about our institutions and how antiquated they were allowed to be, despite the fact that it's not like we had major budget cuts, right, within our health institutions. No, they're funded beautifully and our tax dollars flowing in. So why are they so antiquated? Sometimes I think, what have they been doing with our money? You talk about the fleecing of America. This tour that Dan found is another eye-opener, if you will. You would think that we would have the latest in technology. We would be so proud. And yet, you look at this, it's like a dump.
How many of these does the FDA have?
Well, we probably have over 100,000 binders.
FDA Commissioner Marty McCarry says the Food and Drug Administration has more than 20 document centers like this, storing more than a century of data from drug applications on more than 400 million pieces of paper. He says it costs the government $30 million a year to manage all this for researchers looking for information.
It's like the old Dewey Decimal System. You would actually have to go to one of these shelves and crank it and turn and search for the actual paper that shows the molecular structure.
I'm gonna pause it right there. That's a great visual.
It is. Thank you for that. So what you're seeing is these, you know what it reminds me of, because we're watching The Wire? It reminds me of the old school, like, you know, when you have to go, you're in law enforcement, you have to go way down to the deep basement and look for the case, you know, that you had back in 1974. And you go down and then you find the aisle, which is like the metal, like, and all this, these bookcases and cases full of, and then he's cranking. What is the cranking thing? What is that? It's like a crank and like a submarine. And he has to, like, because you have to crank so that aisle, like, basically opens up the metal shelving area where you can then walk down and get the box. It's like a paper, like a cardboard box. Do you know what I mean?
Visuals. YouTube.com/@12MWPHG. Please like, subscribe, click the bell for notifications to see this visual. We'll continue here, Don.
System. You would actually have to go to one of these shelves and crank it and turn and search for the actual paper that shows the molecular structure and the toxicity studies.
Then staff members here scan documents and send them to the researcher who requests them. The FDA has started a process to figure out how much money and time it will take to digitize all these pieces of paper. Not too long ago, the FDA was adding more paper to all of these boxes on all of these shelves. Then about a decade ago, the FDA started encouraging and requiring more online applications. But before then, trucks would show up here every day
lifting
and drop off tons of boxes. The FDA says about 90% of drug applications are now submitted electronically. But that still leaves decades of unscanned data in these boxes, folders, and shelves that McCary says are still valuable.
There are incredible secrets in these documents. It's a treasure trove of scientific knowledge that's just not searchable until we get it digitized.
The FDA will also make this historic data available for its artificial intelligence tools and says digitizing all this will help speed up drug approvals, innovations, and cures. McCary says he wants to move quickly and get these files digitized within the next couple years. At the Central Document Room Center in Beltsville, Maryland, Rich Edson, Fox News.
So think about this, and this is all part of, you know, as President Trump has said, to bring forth into the next generation, modernizing government that has become so antiquated. And as a piece of this, the FDA commissioner, Marty McCary, who you know well, I've interviewed him before over the years. I mean, a great doctor, physician, author, right? And so what they're talking about is 100 days of embracing gold standard science, transparency, and common sense. And so that was the FDA statement that under Dr. McCary and the Trump administration, that was the statement that they released earlier this month, just about a week or two ago. And this is part of it. And so this is, you know, marking the 100th day on the job at the FDA. Think about that. A little over 90 days. You know, a lot of people are just getting acclimated, moving into their desk or whatever. And here's somebody just trying to register day by day, giving transparency and saying, hey, I'm working for you. This is what I've done so far. This is what I want to do moving forward. And this is another piece of it as you look at all these documents. Now, where I'm going with this, you can give me your thoughts, 855-839-1210 as well, Dan and Jimmy. But as far as this goes, what I think of is imagine now they digitize all these years of scientific research that we have paid for that is not existing, let's say, in a computer. Now, let's bring forth AI, artificial intelligence. Think about when you ask a question and you go into your computer and you search something. Now, search it on Grok or search it on whatever AI you're using, and they're all different and they all have different skill sets. You start entering into this, and part of this is, I'm going to say, a little scary because on one hand, they might come up with cures. We might have the cure within those documents, right?
That's it. Can I emphasize what you're saying, too? Because you think about this. When you search on Google, right, you can search a keyboard and get all those results back. But when you have a system like this, you have to know specifically what it is you want to recall before you even submit your claim. So they can't go and Google, hey, every time we work with X, they have to know we got to pull XXXX, file a claim, have someone do that. That's absolutely ridiculous. And I can't believe this because – could you imagine if the pharma companies had this all at their fingertips, what advancements could be made?
No, I cannot imagine. I can't.
It's crazy to me.
And so then does it, as far as pharmaceutical, my next question is, as far as the pharmaceuticals go, then I think to myself, okay, if this research that has been documented and it's ours, we the people, this is our resource, and now they're going to digitize it, which means it's available, then in my humble opinion, even if a pharmaceutical company or somebody through AI finds this, it's our original information.
Yeah.
In other words, with the patent. So they have to make sure that they mark this as, no, this is stuff that is owned by us, we the people. And so if AI then puts two and two together with all of these different, you know, pieces of, I mean, if you visually are watching us on YouTube, Dan, these are warehouses full, right, of information, of papers and boxes of studies. But I'm just saying for the record, and Dan is showing it right now, I'm just saying for the record, they need to make sure that we document that to say, look at this. I mean, it's basically a, you know, all these different shots of millions of pages of documents.
So it's 2025. Dawn Stensland, why the hell haven't we digitized this already? I think there's a great theory on YouTube.
Yeah.
Road Warrior. Is all about protecting federal jobs.
Yeah. I think you're one ding, ding, ding. Road Warrior always, here's the thing, is always right, always listens intently. You're a great listener and always has great observations. And then you know history, so you put the historical perspective. We love Road Warrior. It's my little tribute to you.
But how many people are they paying to jockey these boxes from the truck and file them into this horrific system? And what's that? At least, I would think, 4 or 5 people that we're paying salaries to out of taxpayer. It's just
more than 4 or 5.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I'm way underestimating.
But think about it. It also protects against what I was saying as well. It protects the pharmaceuticals who want to do their own research, come up with their own stuff. Because now if this is owned by us, we the people, then they get to do their own research and they can claim their proprietary rights for at least 10 years before the generic comes out. Whereas if these cures are hidden, like a hidden treasure that is buried in the bureaucracy of our federal government, then yeah, to Road Warrior's point, to your point, John, I mean, that means that it protects all of these federal jobs, just like the cave in Pennsylvania. We still didn't go on that trip. I still want to get a tour of that one, right? Down deep in the cave. And so you think about that. All of these federal jobs just protected. It's like I mentioned the wire and going down to the basement of the evidence room, but also like Monster Inc. Remember that? What's a number? That, you know what I mean? In Monster Inc. My kids loved that movie. Back in the day, but, you know, going down and
put
you
that
have...
Put thing back right where you found it.
Put that where you found it. And it's the paper. It's crazy. But I'm glad we have people, and only people from the private sector could identify this, right? Because they've been in the modern world. A lot of these people working for the federal government, this is their life since they were basically an intern. And so we've been stuck back into the 1950s or something. What does this date back to, Dan? These records? 1920s? I don't even know. Prohibition. Maybe they'll find like an old bottle of booze. It's a good bottle of whiskey or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know the exact date.
Yeah, so I have to find that out. But thank you, Dr. Marty McCary, for taking us on that tour back in history.
I love the cranking. I know. Just one more time on YouTube. The cranking.
There it is.
Oh, man.
It's like this old, like a submarine door, you know, with the, if you picture the huge crank. And I, what's he cranking though? Is he cranking open the aisle?
Yeah, so
you can have access.
Yeah, it's so you can store more. So if you look, I'm going to pause it here. So it cranks right. You crank it and then it kind of fades out. And then right there, you see those tracks to the right? It looks like all the shelving is on tracks, and you can see them to the right of the video there. So when you crank it, it moves it along that track and opens up aisles. So you can essentially put the aisles right next to each other until you want to crank it open so you can walk down it. And apparently, or allegedly, a lot of the guys over in the YouTube chat who've done governmental work say this exists in the South Carolina Department of something, and New Jersey State has similar things, and they say it's just covered in dust, and that's all they remember is the smell of the dust on those. Yeah.
So what they're saying is that it's 400 million pages of information of all these studies, a treasure trove perhaps, in 20, to your point, Dan, and to you guys on the YouTube chat, 20 FDA facilities, so these federal facilities. Wow. That's unbelievable. I'm looking for the year, so we'll have to find that as well.
Oh, we got a request.
Yeah?
What does Elmo think about this?
Elmo doesn't like to go in the basement. I know, I did that earlier. I've made... I love when I surprise like Greg and he genuinely laughs. I forget what I was talking about.
Yeah, the Mike Wazowski impression and then Sue said, now do Elmo.
Elmo, yeah, I don't know. I have to think of something. Elmo likes Marty McCary. I have to think of a good Elmo line. Elmo would definitely be afraid of the basement. Elmo does not like to go in the basement.
Yeah.
It's a very spooky place.
It doesn't seem like
place.
A basement kind of creature. But I'm a basement dweller myself.
They're basic. No, you're not. They're
basic. Oh, I love basements.
Are you? Yeah? Why? Because it's cold?
Cold and dark. And yeah.
So I guess that they're trying now to they're calling them medieval, basically. That's because they're so old. 855-839-1210. Just, wow. I'm looking through all of this. So we'll continue. I'm trying to find the year. We'll find it.
Be right I have back. Audio from the FDA secretary, Don.
Nowski, you didn't file your paperwork last night. Find your paperwork.
So much happening throughout the day. A lot of breaking news. We got it all for you. The big story affecting all of us across our region, oppressive heat, with this heat advisory that began this morning in place through tomorrow night. And that means not just Philadelphia, not just the city of Philadelphia, all of our suburban so-called collar counties, whether you're in South Jersey, whether you're in Delaware, all across the region, oppressive heat, and as well these ozone alerts and air quality alerts, code orange, meaning if you have, especially anybody with breathing issues, fighting that, babies, allergies, the elderly. And then the other big story as well, 6 people shot, Midtown Manhattan, NYPD, were seen with those guns drawn. One of those killed, a hero cop. And among, when I say 6, that includes the shooter who we're learning more about, who turned the gun on himself. So getting all of those updates. Just to update you on the FDA Marty McCary story, the 400 million pages in 20 different federal facilities just relating to the FDA. I was looking this up, dating back to as early as 1913. So when this all began, women did not have the right to vote, which my brother celebrates that time. He always says, ruined America.
No.
That's John.
Come on, John.
He's busting my chops. He's my brother. Come on. He's like, why do you think I get along great with guys who bust my chops all day? It's my brother, John. He's like, 1913, a great time in America when women didn't have a right to vote and ruin everything. He's not referring to, like, me, not us, you know, women, those women. I'm just saying. I'm just teasing. You know I'm teasing. I know. You guys are going to be like, what is she talking about?
You're telling me there's 112 years of stuff in there, though, that is not sortable by a quick search?
That's crazy.
It's nuts.
Imagine the treasure trove they're going to find. And that'll be really cool. Now, there's another side of this that AI gets all this information. You always do wonder, you know, with regard to that. But I think mostly it's good. Because imagine if people were discovering, I think of when things were discovered, like, for example, it was during that era between 1913 and 1920 that the discovery of insulin for type 1 diabetics, and a researcher donated it, by the way, to the University of Canada because they knew it would be life-saving. And so they took nothing for the patent. They actually donated the patent to make sure that people would have it cheap and easy. So you think about all the discoveries that were already there and what they knew, and imagine feeling like, oh, they could have cured all these things. They had the cures. I can't even, you know, I can't wait to see what they find once they start digitizing. And how do they digitize it?
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's going to take a while to digitize.
They have to scan it.
Yeah.
But see, that's a great, instead of having kids focus on some of the silly, that's a great, like, field trip. Or a great, I'm serious.
School kids do.
Hey, kids.
Child labor.
No, but it is a great for people who are in college and you have to do some kind 100%. Of a doctoral or whatever. Go down and do your, you know, like Michael had to do, all my kids had to do every year so much volunteer work. Volunteer. Learn about these government institutions. You know,
this is definitely a perfect work for an intern, by the way.
It is.
Maybe an unpaid intern.
It's perfect. And then some smart intern's going to be like, oh, look at this page. They had a patent too. You know what I mean? Because they're medical devices. that they invented all this paperwork down there.
Well, you think the people that are, you know, carrying the boxes from truck to shelf can be trained to scan?
Sure.
All right, well, then maybe their jobs are safe for now.
But maybe it'll be robots. It could be robots that end up doing it, too. So we got that going on. Man, there's what a crazy news week and news cycle. Sometimes we prepare and we think we're all prepared, and then something breaks in the night or in the morning. So much happening. And that's why it's so great that we are live, we are local, and we are just full of interviews that Dan has been setting up throughout the week. And that really tees up Dom Giordano, who we welcomed back yesterday, because Roe basically said, Dom, we're going to take a couple of days, which is healthy. And I'm glad you listened to Roe, because she is a wise woman.
Roe, what you got to do next time, though, is take Dom's phone and put it into a glass of water.
No, she would never do that.
Just disable his ability to...
I was incommunicado a bit. That's true.
Yeah, you were sequestered.
We'll give the latest on the stuff in New York. I'm interested how people on the left now want to talk about immigrants. But we're not talking about immigrants. We're talking about people here legally with this heroic cop. And the CTE part of it by a guy who really didn't play pro football, we'll see how that plays.
The Dom Giordano Show starts right now.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.